You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety amount of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. My goal with this podcast is to show the world that people like you and me can buy real estate to build wealth. Today we have Andy. Andy, along with his wife Anya, are proud owners of Sky5 Properties. They are dedicated to providing real estate solutions in Austin, Texas, and as a family-owned business, they help individuals like you overcome housing challenges. Whether you're facing foreclosure, struggling to sell your property, or need a quick sell, Sky5 Properties is here to assist. Let's listen to Andy.
Yeah, my name is Andy Cairns. I am a real estate investor here based in Austin, Texas. Bought my first property back in 2020, February 14th, 2020, so right before COVID. Since then, I've bought about 30 single families, have a direct-to-seller business and a fix-and-flip business as well.
Have you always been in real estate? Have you always thought about buying properties to invest in or what?
No, I didn't really think about buying properties at all until around probably 2019. I always had an interest in them because my first job was a development company in Scotland, but I basically just done IT for them. So yeah, I was interested by it, but IT was always my thing.
IT, so where did real estate even come from? Like, where did that interest spark?
I think it was when I moved to the US. I realized that people are a lot further along in their kind of lives, I guess. I was 26 or 27, I guess, when I moved here, and I didn't really have a retirement set up. So my retirement basically became, how do I scale my retirement? And it turned into, you know, buying a couple of properties, and kind of went a little bit crazy after that.
You went crazy after that. What's your current portfolio right now?
That's about 130 odd single families.
Why do you have so many single families? I know a lot of people want to roll that into a big multifamily. Do you find a big difference between having, 100, single families versus 100 units?
I'm sure it's easier to manage if they're all in one place. But, our mission is basically to help as many people as possible. So a lot of what we do is Section 8 with women and children. We work a lot with women and children domestic violence. So through Salvation Army, different things like the Safe company. We also work with Integral Care, and then also some drug and alcohol abuse kind of community homes, sober living facilities. So we kind of focused on helping individual people versus just trying to do big multifamilies.
I love that. And you said Section 8, and I'm sure you know, but a lot of people are scared of that. My current 10 unit is 100% occupied with Section 8.
Yep.
What has been the biggest challenges with Section 8 for you?
The biggest challenges, I think once you've done one or two of them, it's just getting comfortable with it, honestly. You know, there's some paperwork involved. There's some nuances, right, that you have to kind of jump through some hoops, stuff like that. But it's been a huge benefit to our business, honestly. It allows us to help as many people as we can and do the right thing, but also make a little bit of money as well.
And the reason why I asked that is because since, mine is 100% occupied with Section 8 and it's guaranteed rent, every month. Have you had any missed payments from the government since you've been with Section 8?
No, that was one of the benefits. So we bought our first property, February 2020. And then COVID happened, basically 2 or 3 weeks after that. So we didn't miss a rent check at all during COVID, which not many people can say. So it was kind of risk mitigation for us was to go Section 8, help people, but also a little bit of risk mitigation in terms of getting paid every month from the government.
That's perfect, right? Guaranteed rents essentially for life because the government's not going to go away. Yep. Is there anything special you have to do to find the right Section 8 tenant? Have you came up with a process where if you look at a Section 8 tenant, there's automatic no or an automatic yes?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that we don't allow, so like violent felonies, recent evictions in the last 5 years, and there's other things, you know, like we don't allow fraud, that sort of stuff. But I mean, most of the tenants that we see is kind of harmless stuff. They've just been in the wrong place, wrong time type of situation. Some of them are DUIs, again, doesn't really affect them having the ability to pay. But yeah, we have kids, so we want to go home with our kids every night, and we self-manage, so we want to put the right people in the homes that are gonna, look after them and do right by them.
Self-managing over 100 units. How are you doing that? Do you have like a software that you use, or has it is it time consuming?
Not really. So our whole strategy has been the burr method. So, we're buying like the worst of the worst properties, fixing them up, and then we basically rent them out, and then we refinance them. So we're doing a ton of work on these properties when we buy them. And so when we're done, there's not a whole lot of CapEx that needs to be done on the back end. So we don't get a whole lot of tickets, but we use that folio for management. That's our primary tool that we use for managing.
No, and that's cool. And did you think about self-managing from the get-go since you're doing these burrs? And have you ever thought about doing a third-party manager?
Yeah, I mean, we did think about it to start with, but there wasn't really a whole lot of people doing Section 8 management. And so it was a real struggle for us to find anybody that would do the way we wanted to do it, I guess. So yeah, so we just decided just to manage it ourselves. It was also a way to save a little bit of money in the beginning as well, right? Because, we weren't paying 8 to 10% for someone else to manage it. And so we just decided to self-manage.
No, for sure. And plus, you're in Austin, Texas, right? I mean, I live there. That's where my family is, and I know for a fact it is not easy to find a good deal. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, it is. So I have a direct to seller business that, I go direct to seller, so we're getting a little bit upstream of that. Yeah, so yeah, direct to seller business, but then we've been buying off of MLS, off of wholesalers, Facebook, Instagram, like wherever there's a deal at, like we are looking at them, we're underwriting them, and we're checking them out quickly as possible.
So do you have your own calculator that you've built? Did you use any tools to kind of help you quickly analyze what deals are good or bad?
Yeah, so I developed an app that I haven't really shared with anybody. I probably should at some point, but I developed an app that allows me to underwrite properties in like a couple of minutes. And so I've used that to buy pretty much all of our properties at this point.
Now, why are you selling that app? I'm sure there's a million people who want that app right now.
Don't know, it kind of scares me. A little bit of liability. I'm sure people will be like, if they put the wrong information in, they'll get the wrong information out, right? So I don't know. I know how to work it, and yeah, it scares me a little bit. People will do
All
something
you
wrong with
need
it, and then I'll get the blame for it,
is a disclaimer, man. I know everybody wants to sue you, but just be like, hey, this app isn't, perfect. It just works for me. Like, I'm sure if you sold that app for like $9.99, like one time fee, I bet you would get at least 100 people, then 1,000 people, and then they recommend their friends. This is your business, man. You gotta do that
Yeah,
thing.
no, I know. I should be doing something, but yeah, it's I just keep it to myself at the moment.
No, for sure. So,
But I think
real estate.
it is actually on the App Store, I believe. It's just a free app that you can download. I think I did put it on the App Store.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called Verify, VereiFi. Verify, like Verify Real Estate, REI. So,
All
yeah.
right, everyone, go download that app right now and let them know how it is. So,
Yeah.
real estate, you got hundreds of single family homes. What's your end goal? Do you want to just continue to buy more burrs and help as many people as you can? Do you have a financial goal, or what's the 5 year to 10 year plan for you?
I think 10 years I'd like to be kind of thinking about getting out of the real estate and maybe moving at the lending side of it. But for right now, it's just accumulate as many assets as we possibly can, help as many people as we possibly can, and just do the right thing,
Oh, for sure. And real estate with integrity. Have you seen, those investors who only care about the money? And how does that play into how you do business and who you partner with?
It plays a lot into who we do business with. So we've done some business with some people that I would never do business with again, purely for that reason. Yeah, we're very strategic in who we do business with. We've made a few mistakes in the past, and I won't make them again.
No, for sure. And you said that you came to the States whenever you're 26 or 27, and that's when you got into real estate. Just out of curiosity, how's real estate in Scotland? Because you said you're in development.
Yeah, so the company I worked for, they basically built very exclusive, expensive homes, but they were renovating, like the old, 12, 13, 1400 AD buildings, I guess. So they're like 600, 700 years old. And they were making them absolutely gorgeous. So yeah, I was working for those guys. Those guys were doing absolutely amazing things in some of these buildings. And they were just super exclusive, expensive, but also just they were just amazing. So in terms of like the real estate market in Scotland, I have no idea. I never even tried to buy a house in Scotland. I left before I even got to that point in my life. So yeah.
And were you looking at any other investment class, let's say stocks, bonds, cryptos, anything else that, put interest in your head?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a bunch of research into like the stock market, and I was, looking at index funds, that kind of stuff, but it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, if I'm honest. I felt like I was just kind of putting money into things that I somewhat understood but didn't really understand, in the hope that it would go up. So with real estate, it just felt like a different beast for me. It just kind of made sense.
I gotcha. And you had an IT job you mentioned previously. How long ago was that? And if you're not in it still, is real estate the reason you're out of it?
I guess it's just the reason I've stayed out of it. So I was working cybersecurity networking. I've done that for, I don't know, what, 15, 16 years, I guess. And then last May, almost a year ago, the company went into liquidation. And so they basically let everybody go from the business. It was like 12 or 1300 people. And I decided then that I was going to make a go of it with the real estate and see if I could make it work without having somebody tell me where to be and what to do and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I've just been kind of doing my own thing for the last 11 months.
Have you seen a difference of at least your real estate movement momentum since leaving the W-2? Now that you have 100% time and effort into real estate, have you seen your real estate side, boost?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I didn't really buy a whole lot because obviously I was concerned about finances and stuff when I first lost my job, and I kind of got to a point around probably September, October last year, where I was like, right, I need to truly focus on this if this is what I want to do. And between October and end of January, February time, I was able to do like 14 or 15 properties that I just wouldn't have been able to do if I was still working on W-2. So yeah.
And these are wholesales. What, how are you determining which ones to sell and which ones to keep?
These were all ones that I kept for myself. So
Oh,
these were all
wow.
I burned 15 or 16 properties in about 4 months, 5 months.
How are you able to keep up with that? Do you have help? Do you have a project manager, a superintendent, or what?
I mean, it's just me and my business partner, Scott. So we do all the burst strategy stuff for just the two of us, and obviously our wives help out as well when they're asked to. And yeah, we just kind of went at it.
All right, and if your Instagram link will be below, we have to talk about it. So I've seen a lot of crazy stuff on your stories and on your posts. With this wholesaling, how are you seeing all these crazy stuff? Are you looking for like absentee owners, or like how are you finding these crazy houses with snakes and people eating rats and whatnot?
So the one with the lady and the rat was actually up in Indianapolis. So I went up to visit a friend up there. So I've got a few friends up in Indy, and we were just doing some property tours. And yeah, that lady was there. So yeah, it was much more gross to see in real life. I will say that.
Oh my gosh, and you weren't hungry enough to take a bite?
No,
No, okay, cool. And has there been any like what other crazy stories do you have whenever you find these properties that you want to wholesale? Or is there anything that was shocking to you once you got into the wholesaling business?
not really. I think, being in the real estate world for the last 4 years now, I would say I've seen it all, but I've definitely seen, a decent amount of, crazy things going on, and nothing about a property at this point really shocks me, if I'm honest. We've done the whole gamut in terms of, rehabbing properties, and yeah, there's some messy houses out there.
Since you're being in Austin, Texas, I like to ask, cash flow or appreciation? With wholesaling, you're buying it well under value. So are you seeing a good mixture of both because of that?
Yeah, so the business model when I had the W-2 was purely for equity. You know, obviously cash flow was, you know, I had to make some money, right? I wasn't going to be running at a loss. But that was an equity play. That was when I turn 65, I'm going to sell all these things. I'm just going to put some money in my pocket and be ready for retirement. You know, that was my plan. When I lost my W-2, I had to kind of reevaluate that a little bit more and really just focus on A, what brings me in some active income, but then what also brings more passive income. So that's why we were very selective in what deals that we'd done. But it was all about, can we get our money back out of this property and it's still cash flow and it have equity? So I kind of wanted to have my cake and eat it.
No, cool. What rules are you going by? 1% rule, 2% rule? Did you come up with your own?
Just come up on my own, honestly. I created my app, developed my app that allows me to know if it's going to cash flow and if it's going to pull money out, if I'm going to leave money in. And yeah, so once I developed that, it's just a quick, you know, putting a few numbers into the calculator and if it pops up green, I'm good to go.
I gotcha. And if you were to go back to your 26 or 27-year-old self and got into real estate again, is there anything that you would do differently?
I would have got in at that point. I wouldn't have waited till I was, you know, I wouldn't have waited 3 or 4 years at that point. I would have got in immediately, started earlier, bought more, borrowed more. Yeah.
Is that the advice you would give to anybody else who's listening to this and is trying to get in?
I would say just get started, just do something, make a move.
No, I love it. And with that, let's move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the same three questions. Number one, what are the two books you recommend an aspiring investor to read?
I think the first one that got me really interested was The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. I think it was Gary Keller. It's a blue book. Was a phenomenal book. He mentioned something in there about how you could buy properties for free. And I wanted to figure it out. So I literally came home that night and I sat up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just banging on an Excel spreadsheet, figuring out what the math was on how to buy things for free. So that was a big one for me. And then probably the next one after that, maybe Atomic Habits, you know, building those habits was huge, especially while I was trying to, you know, raise a family, work a W-2, have a side hustle business that was helping people and then also allowing us to buy assets. So yeah, Atomic Habits was probably the other one.
What has been the most impactful speech or lesson that helped you in your career?
I think probably just that Millionaire Real Estate Investor book. Again, just buying properties for free. I just wanted to know how it was done. I wanted to do that. The other thing was probably in Rich Dad Poor Dad when he talks about using assets to pay for liabilities. And so that was kind of my first thing. I was like, I wanted to buy a new car, but without purchasing a property that would cash flow enough to pay for that car, I wasn't going to do it. And so that was kind of my goal was, so I ended up buying two properties that, you know, kind of bankrolled the payment of the car, so I didn't have to think about a car payment.
Oh, cool. And if you could have dinner with anybody dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Steve Irwin. I've always just wanted to meet him. Yeah, I lived in Australia for 5 years and yeah, he died before I got there and I would have loved to have sat down and had some dinner with that guy. He just seems like a hoot.
Now, how can the audience reach out to you and what do you need from us? How can someone help you in your business right now?
Yeah, so you can follow me Instagram at the Andrew Cairns. I'm also on TikTok and Facebook, I think, as well. So yeah, I think my Instagram's probably the best place to get hold of me right now because I'm getting a lot of attention on that. So yeah, just go ahead and shoot me a message there. What I need for my business right now, I'm raising money at the moment. So we're buying flips and that takes some capital. And so we're looking to raise some cash to do as many flips as we can. We're looking to do 24 this year and we've just bought number 6. So yeah, looking to do more.
Well, cool, Andy. Thank you so much for joining the show, and I hope to have you again at some point.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again.
That was Andy, everybody. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you I'd give you three actionable steps to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next investment. Step one, visit your local housing authority and figure out what the rents for a one bed, two bed, and three beds are. Right? That's what most houses are. So whenever you're looking for that property to buy, if you want to help people like Andy does, now you can see where it compares to the market. And now you know the extent of the renovation you need to do based off what the rent you can get from Section 8 or affordable housing. Look up the difference because there is a difference between Section 8 affordable housing. Number two, visit your local real estate meetup. Networking, networking, networking is so important. You're going to find like-minded individuals who have the same goals as you and are going to value the same things that you do. So always networking is one of the most important things that you can do for the rest of your life. That will never stop. And step three, wherever you're living, an apartment or a house, figure out what the medium sell price is based off, you know, three bed, two bath, or two bed, three bath, depending on where you are. You need to get very familiar with your market. And the easiest way to start that is just focusing on the areas around you that you stop by every single day. Once you do that, you're going to start to know, well, oh, wow, that's three bed, two bath, and, you know, zip code, blah, blah, blah. That shouldn't sell for that. That's going to sell for that much. And once you start to know exactly what's going on in your market, it's going to be easier for you to get deals. And you can get deals a lot faster than everybody else because it didn't take you as much time to know if it's a good deal or not. Stay steady. Stay ready. See you next time.